Amen. Thank you, Lord, that we all have the mind of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that I have a memory like a steel trap. And I praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in each and every one of us. And I thank you for leading us and guiding us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I command all condemnation to go in Jesus' name. Every bit of leave out. All right, anybody got a praise report or prayer request? Anything? Yeah, Nick, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, my dad, he's going in for surgery tomorrow, so I would like some prayer and a quick recovery for that.
Okay, so. Lord, we lift up Frank to you, and we thank you, Father, that this is not going to be anything big, that it's going to go in there, it's going to be a quick surgery, and Father, we ask that you guide the surgeon's hands, that this is going to take care of the business, and we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Frank. We plead the blood on Frank that nothing is going to harm him in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. It's going to be okay, Nick. I believe it. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
My, my, my. Okay, and what else? Hey, Vanita.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, and as Julie says, a really quick recovery back home and completely healed in Jesus' name. Quickly, very quick in Jesus' name.
Amen. We believe it.
Amen. All right. I thank you, Lord, for this good weather we've got right now. In Jesus' name, it's pretty outside. It's not that hot. I think it's down around 80. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? Any prayer requests? Hey, Andrew and Ben. How y'all doing up there in northern United States? Amen.
We're not officially yet the Magna region of the perfection.
Okay. All right. Amen. Let's see. Hey, Barbara, Joe. So glad y'all could come tonight. I did want to just mention one thing we need to pray against. It's the deep state stirring up trouble over there in Russia. Father, we lift up the world to you. And we thank you, Father, for bringing down these deep state crazies that are trying to start a war, a world war. And Lord, I thank you for calming things down over there. In the name of Jesus, Lord. If this is your will, Lord, let us know that I think it's a little early yet. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, anybody else want to pray? 808. That's 4 4s. Or 4 words. All right. We have, I think, according to Judy, a good song for tonight. You want to go ahead and sing, Judy?
Yes, thank you. This was one of the first songs. Oh, yeah, allow me to share screen. But yeah, this is one of the first songs I think I heard of, from, People and Songs. And, I've heard this song like in the last 2 days, I've heard it like 3 or 4 times. So I'm thinking I kept, you know, singing it, you know, with it. So I just thought I'd want to share it. It's in my head. So I'm going to share it with y'all.
Hey, who, who? Hey, who, who, who? Hey, who? I was just a shepherd boy, without a shield, without a soul. Fed up with the giant's voice, screaming curses to the Lord. I walked down the hill alone with a pocket full of river stones. But what the Philistine couldn't see is what I had was more than me. See, on my own I'm weak, but my God fights for me. Well, I was servant to the king, interpreting his crazy dreams. I won't worship mortal men, so they threw me in the lion's den. Vicious teeth were all I saw, till something came and shut their jaws. You couldn't find a scratch on me. In fact, that night I fell asleep. When morning came and shocked them all, and my wounds. I could feel their judging eyes as I knelt before the Christ. I poured my oil upon his feet. I didn't care who saw me weep. I gave him all I had that day, and he should have sent me on my way. But instead, he lifted up my head, 'cause my God fights for me. Trapped in, can't get out. Or are you staring down a lion's mouth? Can you stand before the Lord? Or do you need to hit the floor? No matter what you've done, huh, the battle is already won. So lift your voice with me and say that my God fights for me. So lift your voice in victory, 'cause my God.
My God fights for me. Amen. Glory to God. Man, get down on that one. I'm telling you. My goodness gracious, sakes alive. I feel like I've already been in a fight. All right, anybody else? Anybody need a prayer? Testimony? Yeah, Joe?
Morning, everybody.
Hi, Joe.
My power is not on yet, but we trust the Lord for the power. So that's one thing. Other thing is, I have another confession to make. I talked to my brother yesterday morning. He phoned me during my quiet time. Afterwards, I phoned him and chatted a little bit. And he starts railing again about his workers and his, they want to bother him and the family doesn't want to talk to him and all this. And when it comes to my sister, so I explained a little bit about, what the Lord taught me about forgiveness. You have to forgive to be forgiven. If you have not forgiven, what's the consequences of that then? Or as, that immediately about stopped him in his tracks with all his railing and all his, going on about the world and all this bad stuff. So we talk about them, agree, and he says, no, it's fine, and he's put it on the phone. And last night, the Lord showed me two visions. I'm not going to try to explain the visions, but the visions the Lord showed me, I helped him. That's very good. That's very good. But I still had something with my sister as well. I have to talk to my sister as well. So I talked to him. I helped him a bit. Well, I feel I helped him a bit and getting in the right direction. But the Lord says to me, I still have some, I have to talk to my sister. And then I have to do. So I said, well, what's it going to be today? Sometimes I'm going to talk to her and talk to her. So my confession is that, I have somebody, but I still need something to get out my sister. But the thing is, the Lord taught me so many things that, but it's always in the Lord's timing of what to do, when to do. I cannot try to hasten my things I have to clear with people. It's all in the Lord's timing. But what's so amazing is I confessed a lot about stuff, and I did talk to Michael as well. But the Lord is amazing. It's awesome. It's grace is just amazing. I don't think I can explain how much love the Lord has for His people, and you want them set free because He loved us. So we must be loved. And if you have love, you got nothing else in common except for Jesus Christ. That's the only main thing. That's the awesome thing. He told me just to be patient and learn. Trials, enjoy your trials, because you have to learn from your trials. If it's not learning, then you're going a bad way. You must go the good way, and let's enjoy your trials. Make sure you repent of everything. We mustn't be, that's why the Lord says, I am holy, you must be holy. There's not even a small little thing on your garments. There must be absolutely nothing on your garments. Make sure you got everything confessed and right to the Lord. That's what He showed me. So I just feel I have to share that. Thank you, Michael.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Yeah, that goes for all of us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father, for cleaning us all up, getting us ready for this great, wonderful time we got going here. Go ahead, Benjamin. Or Andrew.
Today's my brother's birthday. Gave him a nice call. He sounded like a real good Christian. He's a charismatic and talked about God to me on the phone call. Wished him a happy birthday. We're still in a phase where with my family, you know, we don't really get together a lot since COVID. And my sister, out of the blue, the one who gave me 7 letters, I've mentioned her in the past, and she's inviting everyone over to her house on the 11th of this month. And this is going to be like first time in years that we're getting together. I thank God for that. And I don't think I want to miss this. I need to go because it's kind of been a long time. Of course, I thank God for the other inviting of seeing my son-in-law's birthday and seeing my ex-mother-in-law and my ex-wife and her husband, and seeing the in-laws for my son-in-law. That party already happened, and his brothers and sisters and some other people, friends too, were at that party. And I thank God for that, you know. Had a nice conversation even with Mario, and who is my ex-wife's new husband. And so everything went wonderful for that, just to have some sort of gathering together and talking. Well, it was mostly talking about the world. That's where they're at. But clarify that to have this meeting, you know, hopefully the Lord will do something. And I thank the Lord that we can have a meeting now. And just to have a family gathering of my brothers and sisters who are all older than me, and I get to see them. And so this is just a luncheon, and it's between my two brothers' birthdays. Today's my brother's birthday, and then on the 13th, it's my oldest brother's birthday. So I thank the Lord for that. I thank for some sort of fellowship with family. Even though they're where they're at with God, mostly Roman Catholics, and one pretty powerful charismatic there that reads some books that are, you know, from different denominations. I forget what they're called, but he's a very well-read person, and even in the conversation, we discuss the Lord, and I thank the Lord for that. Praise God.
Amen.
I just want everything to go on the 11th. Because the Lord, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein. You must know there's something on my mind about this. Just having some family fellowship. Even though it's mostly just being there, that's all. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yes, Lord, we thank you for peace, love, and rest in the whole family when they get together. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father.
But you know, me having been excited, you know, me having been here today, like we went to AEW today, got some nice food, and we had some really nice fellowship together.
Yeah.
And discussing worldly things that's going on in the world, and not so much praying, but, you know, just acknowledging things and shocking each other about what we found out. what? No, you can't be doing that. and I'm sure there's different levels of this. Shock, people get some information, but, it's not that they like the shocking. You just are amazed at how far-fetched gone in a reverse direction. So, Father God, we pray for exposure, we pray for justice, and that last verse in 1 Corinthians, everything to be done decently and in order. We pray for grace and mercy and your love to collate with those other three things, Lord. Who are they, Almighty God, that can straighten life. And we will honor all men, love the brethren, God, and honor the king. Praise God. And glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, anyone else? Open up. Anybody else? Everybody okay? You love the Lord? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Me too. How many of you know there's a possible war going on? Just one. Okay, maybe two. Okay. Wake up! Oh my goodness. Well, don't miss tomorrow night's stream. Yeah. Don't miss tomorrow night's study with David. It's going to be a good one. He's right there adding some more right now. He brought it up here to me a while ago, and it's going to be good. I can't give out what he's going to give out tomorrow night, so don't miss it. How many of you know that in the spiritual realm, that things are, seems to be picking up exponentially? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not the standard old things in the spirit anymore. It's more and more about not putting God in the box type of things that are going on. And people I'm seeing in ministries and people that have been stepping outside the box, that have been seeking the Lord with all their heart, these are the ones that are, God is showing things, big things that are coming to the ministry, the end time ministry. And we talked about this a little bit last time, but there's things going on in the spirit realm. Can y'all hear me okay? Is my volume okay? Okay. That you wouldn't dream about this happening. Lots of things are going on. But I wanted to read you a little bit out of Hidden Manna, and I believe this is out of chapter 6, 6 and 7 and 8, I believe, of Hidden Manna. And just to show you what the Lord says about this time that we're in now. So this is out of Hidden Manna. And the subtitle, I think this is out of verse chapter 6 now, Empowering Through the Latter Rain. David says, here's another reason why the full manifestation of Jesus could not happen until these days. He's talking about the days we're in right now. The prophet Joel declares a full restoration of all that the curse and religion has taken from God's people through a great falling away. Joel 2:23, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he gives you the former, or early rain, in just measure, and he causes to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain, in the first month. That's what he's doing now. I believe he's pouring it out now. And the floor, is, as he said, in measure. and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. And David has bearing much fruit. 25, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the pommel worm, my great army which I sent among you. And David says this, he said, these insects represent the curses that have devoured God's crop, which are his people. God said that the former and latter rain will restore his people from the years of devastation. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. This rain is identified in verses 28 and 29 as the outpouring of the Spirit on God's people. And Peter quotes these verses, declaring that the outpouring of the Spirit on Pentecost was the beginning, was the beginning of the fulfillment of this prophecy. We just got through reading in Joel. Acts 2 and 16. But this is that which hath been spoken through the prophet Joel, and it shall be in the last days, saith God, I will pour forth of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. The former rain of the Spirit came in the last days of the Old Testament people of God, and the latter rain will come in the last days of the New Testament people of God. This former rain came to the Jewish believer to restore them after a great falling away, and then it was passed on to the Gentiles. Those disciples who received that power of the Spirit walked just like Jesus walked, and he did his works. The heathens called them Christians, meaning Christ-likers. And there's not enough, David says this, he said, there's not enough evidence to convict many of that today, but the story is not over. For almost 2,000 years, only a few have been partakers of the former rain. And like the former rain type, the latter rain will come to those who believe to restore the fallen church to Christ's likeness, and then it will be passed on to a remnant of the Jews. In many ways, Matthew 19:30, many shall be last that are first, and first that are last. Both natural Israel and the church have fallen away for almost 2,000 years from what was given in the Gospel in Acts. Hosea chapter 5 tells why. Hosea 5 and 3, I know Ephraim and Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou hast played the harlot. Israel is defiled. Ephraim and Israel is a play on words, because in Genesis 48:19, Ephraim was called in Hebrew the multitude of nations, which is the Gentiles, and represents the church. I'm going to skip through some stuff here. The modern church has borne strange children, David says, that do not look anything like the Father or the church fathers in the book of Acts. Ephraim is oppressed. He is crushed in judgment because he was content to walk after man's command. And this is why for almost 2,000 years, Jesus has not really been manifested in the church as he was in Acts. He turned away from the Jews and the apostate church as he went through the dark ages. And most are still there. Well, I'll stop right there. We've got most of Christianity, and we've talked about this before. I'm not going to belay the fact that they're in apostasy because they're not preaching the whole Word of God. And God help the preachers and the teachers that are not doing it. And a lot of the times they're are blaspheming the Holy Spirit and calling out of the devil, talking about being baptized in the Spirit and speaking in tongues and praying in the Spirit and all of that. But this is why God is going to pour out his latter rain. I believe it's being poured out even as we speak now because of the things that I've seen, heard people talk about just here recently. And the things that we've seen here, the things that I'm seeing here daily is just amazing to me. I think God is pouring out his spirit right now to a lesser degree than he will when the latter rain comes at full force. And it's all going to come at one time, and it's going to be an awesome time with God, because we're going to know. We're going to know. We're going to hear God plainly. Not only that, we're going to be doing the things that he wants us to do from the word of God rather than what somebody tells us to do, because God's going to be speaking to us. When God speaks to us, we don't miss a step. We just go on and do it. When you go and do the things that God has told you to do, and you come up to a barrier or a mountain, let's say, you just speak to the mountain, because God has already told you that you're to do that. You don't worry about what's in front of you. Just go on and do it. Well, I can't get over there. There's no bridges over there. Walk on water. Part to sea. This is the kind of age we're coming into. Well, there's something wrong with that guy. He ain't got but one arm. He ain't got no arm, for goodness sake. Pray for him. Got to replace him. He just died of some kind of stupid death out there in the streets. He's just jumping around, and all of a sudden, he just laid out. Go over and put your hand on him. Command him to come back to life. You got that power. You got the same power that the Holy, how many of you know the Holy Spirit's bigger than an atom bomb, nuclear bomb? He got more power than a nuclear bomb. And I know it's kind of, he's got creative power. Let me put it that way. But that's the age that we're coming into now is going to be, I tell you, I'm just getting excited every day about what God's doing. I've heard of some things that just blow your mind. If you sat down and thought about it, you said, well, God ain't going to do that. Oh, yeah? How many of you know God can do anything but lie? Amen. He can do anything, and he will do anything to get that gospel out. He'll use even me. He'll even use you to do what he wants you to do, what he wants done. Let me put it that way. I mean, for goodness sake, he used Moses. Couldn't even talk straight. All right, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but I just want to add, what's so amazing about God is he gives us love to love him. That's the amazing thing. You cannot even try to understand. He gives us the love. Otherwise, if he doesn't give us love, we don't have it. So he gives us love to love him. That's so amazing. Sorry, Michael, I don't want to interrupt. I just want to add that.
Yeah, that's great, Joe. That's exactly right. And I'm not just, I don't want to harp just on the power and the authority that the Holy Spirit has, but the love that he has for God's people. I mean, he's willing to shake the whole world in order to get people's attention. And that's what he's fixing to do. He's fixing to shake up the whole world. Yeah, Ben or Andrew, whoever else is in that room.
I was, this was a while ago, I was talking to Juan. I was trying to explain to him agape love. And I was trying to be like, you know, there's the difference, right? He said, yeah, agape love and a phileo love. He said, yeah, agape love is the love between the father and his son. And I said, yeah, you know, it's almost there, but I tried to add on to it by telling him about obedience. Being obedient to his commandments, those who love me will follow my commandments, John 14:50. And then, you know, I'm giving him all these verses, and he's still not getting it. And then I told him, I said, Juan, why did you stop smoking? And then he finally figured it out. He's like, oh, That's why. Because I want to do my part. And I'm like, praise God. Sometimes praise it's just God. Yeah, it was so good. Praise God. Yeah.
Sometimes we just got to use a simple back door, don't we, to get somebody to look at it and see what God's love is. Yeah, I wanted to impress God that I could do it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? I guess I will say this, the closer you become as you come to the Lord, the closer you come to the Lord, and the more of the Lord you have in you, the more of God's love and authority you'll have. That's a natural fact. That's a spiritual fact. The closer you become to the Lord, the more you'll be walking in His gifts. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on in the spiritual realm. And it's good to see. You know, the old mundane part, and we thought it was great, and it is. It's great. It's just speaking in tongues and you know, just fellowshipping together when you do that and praying and all that, that's all good. That's all good. But when you do it alone and doing it before you start talking to the Lord and get close to the Lord, it opens up that door, that spiritual door, to go and walk into the kingdom of God in a way you've never done it before. I know when I pray in tongues, before I start praying to the Lord, talking to Him, it opens up a whole new realm. For the whole day, if you do it early in the morning, the whole day is just set for you right there. Does anybody remember what I'm talking about? Am I just talking to a screen here? Okay, good. Good deal. Well, I got two people agreeing anyway. Praise God. We got an audience of two. Okay. All right, anybody else? I had something else I wanted to share, but y'all go ahead. I'm going to have to find it. How many of you know what day is the third day? Who can tell me what the third day is?
Resurrection.
What's that? It's too quick. I missed it.
Resurrection. Resurrection.
Well, when they talk about the end times and they're talking about the third day.
The morning of the third day is the beginning of the time we're in right now.
Okay, end time.
3,000 years since Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Since 3,000 years since Christ.
Yeah. And then the end of the seventh day is the same day, right? Seventh day since Adam. Yeah, Andrew. You're too late. I caught you.
That's what I was going to say. Well, it's the same as the seventh day. Our rest and resurrection are our...
rest and resurrection, yeah. Okay. Hey, I saw the neatest thing today. Somebody sent me a short thing. This lady, I believe it was Angelica, she put it on the thing, the signal group thing, where this lady was getting, a young lady she looked like, was getting baptized. And boy, they dunked her, and she came back up, and then she died right there. right after she got baptized. She didn't have to go through none of this stuff we had to go through. But, you know, God saw something there, didn't he? I don't know what this lady went through or whatever it was, you know. Yeah, Andrew.
That's a perfect way of explaining baptism, death to self.
Yeah.
The newness of life.
Absolutely.
Wow.
My goodness.
Demonstrating it right there.
Yeah, she got baptized and off to home she went. Glory to God. Doesn't have to worry about falling away or anything. She just walked right on into heaven after baptism. David talks about, y'all remember David talking about the preacher that was going to sit down and show how easy it was to die. Sat down and share, sat there, sat there, sat there, and sat there, and sat there, and sat there. And the pastor got kind of nervous, went up there and shook him. He done gone. He talked himself right into heaven. Go ahead, Judy.
When they put, I watched that short that Angelica has shared about that baptism and you know, the death, burial, resurrection thing. I wish they would put something in there so you know kind of like what happened, why, you know?
Yeah.
You know, what was, you know what I mean? You wonder, it's like, what was wrong with her? You know, was she okay when she went down in the water? Or just, you know, why did that happen for her? But it was pretty neat, nonetheless.
Yeah.
You were just wondering, it's like, is she going to stand up? You know, is she going to stand up? What, you know, what happened, you know?
Well, I saw her, when she came up, I saw her grab the guy's arm. And she got almost up. And then, that was it. She went home. She said, I ain't sticking around no more. I'm gone. I'm out of here. Oh, my. What a way to go. I wonder if that was her husband standing beside her. You know, like you said, you really don't know anything about that one. It's pretty neat, though. We had a guy call us one morning, and we were in our prayer meeting here at the house. That was back when we all came together before we got on Zoom. And this lady called, and she said, please pray for my husband. He's not saved, and he's having a stroke or a heart attack or something. And he was bouncing all over the room, you know, just staggering around. And David talked to him, prayed him into the heaven, and we all were praying with him, praying in the spirit, praying, you know, the things that the Lord put on our heart. And this went on for about, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. And finally, she bent down, the wife bent down over him and said, you're not going anywhere. You're going to stay here with me. He said, no, I'm gone. He said, I'm gone. I'm going. I'm going. I'll see you. Off he went. He went to heaven right then. He came to Jesus. Jesus took him. Right then. This is an older guy. He was probably in his 50s or so, 60s. Not that that's old, but I'm just saying. All right. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
50, 60, 70, 80, that's not old, Joe. Oh, the spirit man is young. He's 50. That's no bother. 50, 80 doesn't matter. He's still dead if he's 80. So what? My spirit man is 50, so that doesn't bother me if he says I'm 80. So.
Amen. No, it doesn't make me any difference either. Thank you. Okay, let me read this part. Do y'all mind if I read this out of Hidden Manna? This is about the letter rain. You do mind? Okay.
Not at all.
Oh, thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe. Notice also that when God's Spirit comes to dwell, He will empower you to obey the Word, Acts 5:32, and we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. David says, okay, dear friends, and receive. Obey, dear friends, and receive. If you will do what they did in the book of Acts, you get what they got. And if you get what they got, you'll do what they did with power. And he said, just as the former rain in Acts empowered the disciples to manifest Jesus, the latter rain outpouring of the Holy Spirit will empower the end time saints to come into all that Christ did, because Christ will live in them. Ephesians 2, 3 and 16, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit and the inward man. 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith to the end, that you be rooted and grounded in love. David says, notice that the Spirit empowers us so that Christ may dwell in us. And in this way, the latter rain will bring Christ in his body on earth like never before. 18, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. You know what the fullness of God, what is the fullness of God? David, I'm going to read this. Notice that by the Spirit, we are empowered to apprehend the full scope of Christ, the breadth, length, height, depth, and his love. The full scope of Christ. What is the full scope of Christ? What did Christ do that was notable? What is the first thing that, one of the first things we read about Christ, Dan? Now don't limit yourself here now. Don't put yourself in a box. Yeah, Julie?
The first two things that come to my mind are he, in the 40 days of his wilderness, he overcame Satan and the temptations there. And his first miracle that he did was turn the water into wine.
Yeah. Yeah, but he did something before that. I said, don't put yourself in a box. Don't put yourself
in a box. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yourself.
I'm
Don't
not in a box.
Yourself.
You can see where I'm at. I'm not in a box.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, that's a good answer.
He was born from
to...
above. Praise God. He was born in the womb of his natural mama. He came down here and gave up heaven to come down here for us.
Let me ask it another way. What was the most notable thing that he did as God's son? I saw that light bulb come on, Missy. Go ahead.
He spoke creation into being with the Father.
He sure did. That's why I was saying, don't put yourself in a box. Well, that's naturally we want to think about his fleshly life here, and that's good, but just think of it this way. He's God's son. Are we God's son when we walk in his steps? Yeah. We're God's son too. So we have the same love and compassion that Jesus has, and the same authority and the power that Jesus has when you walk in his steps, and you walk a sinless life. And I just want to pray. Can I pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for drawing us closer to you so that we look like you. We shine like you do to the world. And we have that love and that compassion for men of this world. And I thank you for doing that to us, Lord, helping us to get rid of our flesh so that nothing but you would be evident in our life. That light that Adam had before he sinned would shine in everybody here, and that's the light of Jesus. And Father, I just thank you, and I just so much appreciate the work that you're doing in all of us. And placing it in our hearts to obey and to stay in the Word and to learn how it is to walk like you did, Lord. I thank you for it because I believe that in the days ahead that you're going to use some surrendered souls in mighty ways. Thank you, Father, for doing that for all of us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Glory be to God. Woo. Yeah, Joe.
Last couple of days, I'm studying Humility of David. It's so awesome about Jesus' obedience. His love for a father. Because I think the one first thing is God sent him. God sent him to earth to help us getting out of our mess. But the most thing is from the first thing we heard that Jesus can do was obedience to the Father. That was so awesome. But that one verse that so particularly impressed me is, I think it's in 1 John 5. It says, I'm not specific the verse, but it says this, he that believeth on the Son of God, the witness is in him. That's so awesome. You just think about that. It's, if you can't confess Jesus, if you confess Jesus, that's because the Father is in you, just the Holy Spirit is in you. It's the only way you can confess that Jesus is Lord of your life and Jesus is the Lord of everything. That's what I want to add.
Amen. Well, that's a lot. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Anybody else? I saw the neatest thing today. Let me see if I can get that up. I think it's here. I think she showed it to y'all too. A thing that that baptism in pictures. Did y'all see that Angelica put up there from ASV? What's the name of that company down there in Texas? Used to print the ASV, Star Bible. Anybody got that? You know, how about y'all helping out here a little bit? I'm just saying, for goodness sake. Yeah, Julie.
I don't have the Signal app on my PC, otherwise I would share my screen and show it.
Okay.
All I have it is on my phone and my iPad. Otherwise I would help you out there, Michael. Sorry.
Well, I can find it here. Oh, here it is. All right, let's see if I can do this. Can y'all see that? Hello.
Nothing yet.
Oh, okay. All right. I see it's downloading. Okay. Yeah, can you see it? Okay. Let me see if I can get it here. All right, this says the gospel reenacted in baptism. Let me get me a full. And then it's got a picture of the baptism in the center, and then the death over while they're up, burial when they go under, and the resurrection when they come out. What a wonderful picture of the baptism and what the meaning is. Y'all see that? Let's see if I can get this top one here. Here's the gospel enacted. 1 Corinthians, what is that, 15, 3 and 4. The death of Christ, the burial, and the resurrection. We should have shown that in first. But that came out of Star Bible in that New Testament, little New Testament giveaway that they used to have. And they don't have it anymore. But I wonder if you could find it online and give it out. That's pretty neat. I thought, I like to give out pictorials that show a simple diagram of what it means to be in Christ, you know, or to be saved and to, what is baptism? Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, and some people say a picture is sometimes worth 10,000 words.
Yeah.
Pictorials are worth 10,000 words.
Yeah, absolutely. That's pretty neat. Speaking about 10,000 words, I read about or I heard about a preacher over in a country where they're not, where Bibles are illegal, and he only had one page out of the Bible. Now, listen to what I'm saying. He only had one page out of the Bible, front and back. That's all he had. For 30 years, he preached off of that one page. A new sermon every Sunday or whenever they met. It was a new, that's, the Lord would give him new revelations every day off of one page out of the Bible. For 30 years he did that. That's being close to God and listening to God, because that's the only way he could get anything out of it, was to listen to God. God said, take this verse here. What's this? You know, I don't know how he did it, but that's my imagination, you know. Take this. Check this out. Do a little word study on this one. open this one up here. Look at here. Let me peel that onion back for you, give you a little revelation off of that one little old verse there. He did it for 30 years and never did the same sermon twice. Go ahead, Andrew.
Now, some of those First Testament saints, there's a woman in her 20s. Her name was Felicitas. She was a mother. She was friends with another woman called Perpetua. She was a mother, too. But they're in their early 20s. They just had babies, you know. And this Felicitas couldn't read. But she knew the gospel. She died and martyred the priestly two girls. Which actually proves that it's not really a mental sin, because she had to just take, she was friends with Perpetua, who was learned both in Greek and in Latin, which was a rarity. She could read in both languages. But, you know, that was an excellent friendship for her, you know. But, you know, they both, young ladies, you know, as a big guy, you know, you don't tend to think that ladies can be like that, but they were, you know. And it's just so amazing that it's not a, you know, just quoting verses here and there, you know. It's a wonderful revelation from a living revelation for that. A living and active revelation, like it says in the scriptures, about the Word of God is a living and active thing in us. So, and that's something we have to adopt it. So praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, really? That's cool.
I sure hope his one page was New Testament. You know, I wonder what you have to wonder what page was it, you know, but that's not the point.
I don't know. Well, you know what they used to do in the country surrounding China, they would tear pages out of a Bible, put them in a balloon of helium when the wind was blowing toward China, and send them over that away. And people would get a page of the scriptures, and boy, they just celebrate. Glory to God, we got Jesus right here with us. You know, one page. They did that a lot.
Yeah. I heard that too. Like, they would get a Bible and they would tear all the books out. And they'd hand this guy his, that they can buy blank paper, and they would copy it all out. It was, wow. Yeah. And transfer it down.
That's amazing. We get a Bible and we can't say nothing. I'm not talking about y'all now. Go ahead. Who was that that had to hand it? Yeah.
Joe,
yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Sorry. I just want to say, Andrew said, what Bible? I would think what would be a very good Bible, well, it's just a guess, is John chapter 1, in the beginning, God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was of God. But those first page or two pages tell so much about the gospel, about Jesus, what he's done and where he's going to and all that. That's, I would think it's that, but it's just my guess. That.
Did you say a whole chapter 1? Or just verse 1?
No, I was thinking that, but we talk about that guy who had the first, but only got that one page. Yeah. I would say John chapter 1 would be a very good page to tell all about Jesus.
Oh, my goodness, yeah, it would. That thing's full of stuff, isn't it? I tell you what you ought to do sometime is do a word study on light in the New Testament, the light, talking about Jesus' light. There's a lot to... I heard, reason I said I haven't done one, I've listened to a guy that was talking about the light. He talked about what Adam had before the fall. You know, I don't know. It's some good stuff. He had a light around him that was shielding him and Eve from whatever it was that the nakedness, I guess, of the body. But they put it another way. It was more of a spiritual thing. Anyway, what do you think it says when it talks about Jesus is the light? Now, this could take you a lot of places. Go ahead, Andrew.
How about for the first verse? Where he said, let there be light. And he turned himself on because the sun and the moon and stars were made a different day. And so when he was walking in the light, Adam, he was walking with the light. It was right beside him. God made the light and made the sun, moon, and stars later. So walking in the light. Puts a whole new meaning to walking in the light there.
Here's another verse for you with about the light. Listen to this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made. In him was life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's what I was talking about when I was talking about Adam before the fall. I believe you cut Adam open when he was before the fall, you wouldn't find nothing but light. I don't know, we'll see. What is the light? There's a lot there. One of these days I get some time, I'm going to do a study on that because that's awesome. Y'all look bored. Yeah, Joe.
In my study, what I did about humility, what David talked about, you know how perfect Jesus was. It's unbelievable, but everything was done about him. They come to see him, heal people, multiply food, teaching, everything. He must have so much. His humility must only be perfect to know it's all about him, and he doesn't brag. He just says, it's all about what my father did, all about what my father says. He listened all to the father. So his obedience was so perfect because he listened to the father the whole time, because he can do all that stuff. All the dealings and things because he's in the Father. That's so amazing.
He didn't say, look what I could do. He said he always glorified the Lord, didn't he? The Father. He always glorified the Father. And that's what we should do. Yeah, look what God did. Amazing. Look what God did. Look what God did. Golly, that's awesome. Go ahead, Andrew.
No, they're
next stop. People are sleeping.
Vanita, I don't know what you're doing, but you need to quit tripping on it.
Samuel Morrison was a cartoon on, and he would say things like, "Well, I'll ask my father," you know, and he's praying to God and he's asking for. A lot of his father, you know, and he was a young lad that would pray a lot, you know, and he would say, he came to New York and he said he's looking for this guy, and then he said, I'll take you there. I know where he is. He met someone in New York figuring he knew who this person was, and then he said, okay, you're going to give me a dollar? And he said, yeah, I'll give you a dollar. In the 1800s, that was a lot of money. And he said, but I'll ask my father for that. And he'll give it to me. Because he had no money when he showed up. And it ended up that he did meet the pastor he was supposed to find, and he gave him the dollar. So, and he gave it to the guy who showed him where he lived. You know? And it was like it was set up. It's like a chess board where he just came off the boat expecting that everyone knew this guy in New York City, the biggest city in the probably in the whole world back then for population. It's just the way God takes care of people. Praise God.
I believe it was, what's that guy's name? Saji Sundar Singh. That is his name. Came over here the first time, and he thought, man, I'm coming over to the United States. Man, these people over there are full of God. They even got In God We Trust on their money. And he got here, and he was so disappointed. Because he thought everybody here was going to be full of the Holy Ghost, and it was just going to be heaven on earth right here in the United States. Boy, did he get a rude awakening. But God... Yeah, Andrew.
You know, I have to say that same saying has happened here up in Canada. They would say, man, I wish I could go to the States. an associate pastor said, had time in the States there with all these God-filled people. You know? And it's just a person in the Church of God.
Man, all you can see
I was so much over there.
Oh boy, I know, and you got all this woke crowd running around too with these stupid looking flags. Oh, I noticed that one of the denominations went full bore on LGBTQRST, whatever you call them, and they immediately lost 1 million people out of their denomination. Immediately. Amen. That's because they didn't follow the tenets of the people who, John Wesley, who started that Methodism. They didn't follow his tenets, and that was holy walk with God, get close to God. Anyway, praise God. God's going to fix it all. It's going to shake the world and shake all of God's people out of those churches. Because, you know why? Because people are, they're not going to see the old of us. They're going to see, all they're going to see is Jesus. That's what you're going to see is Jesus. See, man, I can't believe the love that's pouring out of this bunch of people. Where did they come from? Well, they came from Jesus. And that's how they listen to Jesus, they talk to Jesus, and they do the works of Jesus, what he tells them to do. And boy, when you do that, people's eyes are going to come open. How would you like to go in a hospital, a children's hospital, and empty it out? Yeah, me too. I'd love to do that. Every children's hospital, I'd love to be transported there, translated there, and pray for all them children. I remember John G. Lake, they shut down two or three hospitals in up there in, what's the name of that place in Washington that he was? Amen. Yeah, nursing home.
Spokane.
Yeah, the one that I always get corrected on when I say Spokane. It's Spokane, I've been told. No, I'll say Spokane, and they said, no, it's Spokane. I said, okay, whatever you think. I don't know what I think it is. Anyway, he emptied out a bunch of hospitals up there. It was voted. It was said of Spokane that it was the healthiest city in the U.S. at the time that they had those healing rooms going on. How many of you know you won't have to pray for God, pray for somebody 5,000 times before they get healed in the days ahead because of the latter rain, the former and the latter rain? There's only been instances throughout history of the church where the former rain has even been noted. Some of the former rain has even been noted. Yeah, Joe. We're going to see an outpouring. Well, I'm seeing an outpouring now. That's what I'm saying. Go ahead, Joe.
I was thinking now, it will now be a different, but in John G. Lake's time, if he cleaning out hospitals and things to tell the people, is there must be people there to tell them about the Lord, not just healing, because now by healing they can go on with their lives. They must know the gospel, why they get healed, why they was in a position in the first place. They have to go on. But now it's going to be different. It's going to be, people have to learn very, very, well, it took me quite a while to learn what I learn now, and I'm still learning every day, but by God's grace. But it will be a quick time to understand the gospel, to go and preach in yourselves. If you get healed somebody, they need to understand the reason why is that it's about the gospel, it's about the power of God, it's about the love of God for his people. And you have to tell them to everyone, if you heal somebody, you have to know the gospel to tell them to somebody else. Sorry, slowly enacted.
Yeah. Lakewood, he'd give them, he said, you got to commit to 30 days coming here. You have to commit to 30 days coming here or until you get healed. And what they would do, they would preach faith to them, teach them faith and what the gospel was all about. And some get healed immediately, some wouldn't, you know. And then some would have to build their faith up in order to get healed. But they had a very high success rate there. I don't remember what it was. Something like 75% or 80%, somewhere along the near, of the success rate. I know of a ministry now that claims they got 97% healing rate, and I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. Because I'm talking about Curry Blake. He has a ministry, but, you know, he's not as well-rounded as David is. Let me put it that way. So if you're going to go get healing, go to him. But if you want to know the Bible, stay here. Thank you, Lord. All right. Can you send that to me, Julie? That Bible chart thing, send it to me in my email.
Yes, I will. You want an email? Does anyone else want it?
Huh?
You can just forward it, Michael. You can forward it if you like.
You send it to me,
I can put it, if you send it to me, I'll send it to everybody. Unless you have it too. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Joe.
Just a suggestion. Don't you think it's a good idea for Missy to sing us a song here?
It's a good idea for you to sing a song? Is that what you said?
No, for Missy to sing us a song. No, I cannot sing.
Oh, Missy.
Get to somebody Missy who can sing. Yeah, please.
Okay.
Yeah, if somebody else doesn't want anybody else, I would love that.
Okay, Missy, you're up, girl. Go ahead, Joe. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. But I'm not going to sound like a frog. I have a Savior, a friend forever, the Savior of my soul. Through every trial, He won't forsake me. I'll never be alone. All I ever need is Jesus. All I want to sing is His name. All my heart belongs to Jesus. And by His grace and mercy, I'm saved. There are no riches that could persuade me or steal away my soul. I have been ransomed now and forever, my Savior, my reward. All I ever need is Jesus. All I want to sing is His name. All my heart belongs to Jesus. And by His grace and mercy, I'm saved. You're my future, you're my hope. You're the anchor for my soul. And I was made for you. You're my future, you're my hope. You're the anchor for my soul. And I was made for you. You're my future, you're my hope. You're the anchor for my soul. And I was made for you. All I ever need is Jesus. All I want to sing is His name. All my heart belongs to Jesus. And by His grace and mercy, I'm saved. All my heart belongs to Jesus. And by His grace and mercy, I'm saved. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Mercy. Praise you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that was good, Mercy. Thank you. Yeah. We need to get you a backup band, too. You know what I'm saying? Well, we need to get somebody with a bluegrass drum and a banjo and get her going. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Oh, my. No, that was good, Missy. Thank you. Yeah, that's right, Julie. The nursing home, special needs people, too. Yeah, I'd like to empty them all out. Especially that third floor on the children's hospital. Most of the children's hospital third floor on the top floor is the terminals. That's what I found. I never will forget that time that I was up in children's hospital in Little Rock. Went up there to pray for a little red-headed boy. Had cancer. And I got through with him and I went out into the area where all the kids go out and play and stuff. And, you know, you got kids with no hair all over the place. And mom's with them. And dad's with them. And I went out there and I asked this one lady, I said, "You want me to pray for your son?" "Yes, please pray for him." And so I did. And there was a nurse there was watching me. And then another mama stood up there and she said, "Yeah, pray for mine too." And so I started doing that. She said, "You can't do that in here." I said, she asked me if I was registered. I said, I don't know what register. What are you talking about? She said, "Well, are you registered with the hospital to come up here and do that?" I said, "No, I don't guess I am." And she said, "Well, you're going to have to leave because we can't have that up here." And to the T, every one of the mamas up there said, "He ain't leaving until he prays for my son or my daughter." She had to go over and sit down and watch me pray for about 25 kids. And she was steaming. I called her nurse Rashid. I did not to her face. But she was just following protocol. She was just following protocol that the hospital had because, you know, you could get some dummies up there, some stupid people up there doing it. And I understood that, but I believe everybody I prayed for was healed. I don't know if that's the case, but that's what I believe. I'd like to see somebody go in mental institutes and empty them out. Yeah, absolutely. And rehabs, empty them out. All of the things. Yeah, nursing homes too. Nursing homes, those precious old people in there. Get more precious every day, you know, the older you get. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, I believe this, y'all. I believe you're as old as you think you are. If you think you're old, you're going to be old. If you declare that, "Oh, I can't do that because I'm getting old," that's what will happen. I don't. I think like I did when I was 30 years old. And that was 47 years ago. Yeah, that's right, Judy. God is restoring the fivefold ministry. That's gonna fix everything in the church. Absolutely. Because when the man child goes out there teaching and preaching and doing the things that God wants them to do, they're going to set everything straight in the church. Got 7 years to do it. 7 years to populate heaven. 7 years. And don't think just because you came in that you can't do that. Yeah, you can be, anybody can be in a bride that is doing everything that they ask, that the Lord has asked them to do. Surrender their life and keep coming in and have faith to believe it. You can be in the bride. You can be in the man child. I'm talking about the men now. Y'all take a look at those charts that that Judy put up there. They're pretty neat. I think it'd be a good a track to be handing out, you know, to make them up, hand them out. Explains the gospel in simple terms. Like Benjamin said, in pictures, that speaks a lot. But I see a cruelty.
Michael, can I say something?
Of course. Yeah, I'm tired of talking.
I was just saying a couple of days, probably a couple of weeks ago, I was going from shop to my home, and I see that one guy walking. So I just tried to stop. Well, I stopped and I tried to talk to him, but he was in the gate of an old age home. But I was too late for him. But there was two ladies sitting outside, old ladies. And I started talking to them, asking him how they're doing and how good the Lord is. And now it's a nice day and everything. And asking a little bit later what they believe and so on. One was a Catholic, one was a Methodist. Oh, we talk a little bit and I ask him, can I give you something to read? And there's one lady, she's speaking for the other one as well. She just says, now we're set in our ways. We're not going to change anything. We're not going to change other things. Don't worry giving us a track. What we believe, we believe. We're not going to change at this late stage. We're not going to do it. So I said, no problem. Just want to ask you as well. It's just interesting is how, well, I don't say everybody's like that, but it's just, I'm set in my ways. I'm not going to change. Just leave it. So I just said, no. If the Lord doesn't change you from the outside, you're not going to change. So in other words, you have to read something. You have to know something to change. Because if you think you've got the right gospel, then that's fine by me. And I says, all right, have a good day, and I leave. Oh, just interesting. It's polite, but she says, no, thank you. We said no ways, just it's okay. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. I was looking at something here. I got a question for y'all. Can you think of a good example out of the New Testament? Who are we waiting at? Oh, David and Lena? Okay. Now y'all. Oh, they're gone. Out of the Bible, can you... tell me a good story that would represent humility out of the New Testament. There's one in particular that I have, but I'm not going to say it until I hear it from somebody else. A good story on how to walk in humility. Or a story of someone walking in humility, I should say. Yeah, Julie.
The story about the Good Samaritan.
That's a good one.
The Good Samaritan.
Yeah. Okay, can you explain to me how that would look like humility? And I'm just asking the question. I'm not trying to put you on the spot or anything, but I'm trying to put you on the spot.
I guess, when I was going, just really thinking about that parable. This has been a few years ago. I was really thinking about that. And I guess in my own personal life, I've been every one of those people. I've been the Levite, the Pharisee, the one beaten and robbed and left for dead. I've been the innkeeper. And, I've tried to be the Good Samaritan that paid heed to what was going on and care for somebody, who is, So in that regard, you know, you try to put yourself, the Lord just, you know, just gave me that because I was reading that. It's like, well, I've definitely been the Levite, the Pharisee, and, you know, and ignoring people. And I've also been the one laying on the road, you know, needed help. And I've been the one to show mercy and kindness to people. And I've been the one that's, you know, here, take care of this person and help them. So, you know.
Yeah,
that's just showing humility and compassion, and just, you know, you're putting somebody else you don't even know, you don't know anything about the person, why they're there, what happened to them. And it's like you show, you know, that's a lot of grace and humility to do that, because our, you know, pride gets in the way, and I'm like, I'm not gonna, you know, I just think you can't or you won't or. Think it's dangerous or all kinds of reasons.
Amen. That's a good example. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
The woman with the alabaster cruse of oil.
Speak up a little bit.
Wetting the Lord's feet with her tears and drying drying his feet with her hair, you know. And yeah, that seems like a real humility. I mean, she, you could, you know, just by her actions, know how much she loved the Lord and how much she humbled herself to express that love, and the expense of the oil, which Judas complained about. But I heard a really good comment about that the other day, and I can't remember what it was again. I think it might have been David in Bible study or something, or somebody made a really good comment about that. But anyway, I can't remember what it was. But yeah, that was
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Very good one. Also. Yeah, Ben or Andrew.
In Luke chapter 18, it's the Pharisee and the publican.
Okay.
Five verses. I'll start at 10. Well, 18 and 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes to all that I get. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be thou merciful to me, a sinner. I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be humbled, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
Amen. All right, Joe, go ahead.
For me, it's always when Jesus was the disciples' feet, he took off his garment and he put on a towel to put on washing their feet. That must be, his garment, if his people's righteousness, he come to a lower level just to show him to be a servant. The servant is, I'm going to wash your feet. My garment is off now, using the towel to wash your feet. That's so awesome. It's God washing their feet. That's a physical and a spiritual meaning. That's so awesome. That's so amazing.
Amen. That's another good one. Yeah, Ben, go ahead, brother.
When Jesus was washing his disciples' feet, was Judas there?
I didn't understand that, but go ahead.
Was Judas there when Jesus was washing his disciples' feet. I'm asking a question.
I didn't understand the question. You're too far away from it. It's splattering a little bit. What did he say,
Jesus? Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. Was Judas there when Jesus was washing his disciples' feet? Praise God.
Yeah, I believe he was. Wasn't he?
Well, there you go. And he knew about Judas before that. You know,
like, yes, he did.
Yeah, he was kind of.
He's the epitome of humility.
Yeah,
he gives
a different perspective. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was another story, too, that I thought was kind of right on that brought humility because of the story itself, and that's the prodigal son. If you think about it a minute, he had all that money, went over and lived a great life till it all run out. And then he had to go eat with the hogs. That is, eat the slop that the hogs ate, the husk that the hogs ate. Then he had to humble himself and go back to dad. I thought that was pretty good too. Pretty good look at humility. And that's what we do, didn't it? Yeah, Andrew.
I just want to mention this because I read this today in the Acts 21. I read this today in Acts 21, and it's verse 13. Then Paul answered, "What do ye, weeping and breaking my heart?" And then he says, "For I am ready, not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." So, you know, this is when Paul's making his trip back to Jerusalem and the Lord's telling him he has to go see Rome and stuff. But it goes on for a couple, he goes to a couple of cities, going back by boat to Jerusalem, and he had to say that, you know, he had to say, "Why do you break my heart?" You know, and I just read that today, and he had to humble himself, knowing he had to go back to Jerusalem, and then he had to go see Rome because the Lord told him that. And of course, we know that he was going to be arrested and everything, and go through all that stuff. So it's a word of the Lord that he got, and it's personal for him, and he had to do it. He humbled himself to. He obeyed. Praise God. Humility works with that love.
Yeah.
It has to, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah. It has to work with love. I'm trying to think of another word to put it with that. Brokenness. It has to be a brokenness in our self-life to be humble. Remember that song that, what's his name, put out, "It's Hard to Be Humble"? That's a country song. Y'all probably don't remember it, but I do. And it was just
Mac
about...
Davis.
Yeah, that's you. Mac Davis put it out. All right, anybody else? Oh boy. I had something that I want to share with you. Go ahead, George.
Hey, I thought something was kind of cute the other day. I was listening to Andrew Murray's Humility, and when he got into all the scriptures that talk about Jesus not having an agenda of his own, but doing what the Father wanted him to do. He says, not my will, but yours be done. You know, he kept saying the word not and nothing. And I was thinking how God wants me to be a knothead. He wants me to have the same thinking and mission as Jesus, and to get my head figured out where it's not my will, it's going to be less of me and all of him. And you know, I figure if I can be a knothead for Jesus and learn those scriptures, you know, can't lose.
Amen. Yeah, I like, that's one of my favorite books, is that book on Humility from Andrew Murray.
I forgot to tell you, I was listening to it while I was forking out a winter's worth of goat hay that was soaked in whey. So one fork at a time, all my boys were off hiking the mountain and partying or whatever. And I'm listening to Humility and I'm living it out right there, one fork at a time. I had a mountain by the time it was over.
Oh my.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
And I guess while I'm on the roll, when I first joined this corporation that I work for, we're the world's largest food service provider, real big company. And the president of the company was there, and they had this big meeting up in Atlanta. And they said, if you had an elevator conversation and you were only going to be in a room with somebody for 15 seconds or 30 seconds, what would you tell them? And I want you to end your little story with, great service starts with me. And I was the last one to speak out of about 100 people or whatever. And I said, going up, the way up is down. Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and great service starts with he. And the president of the company was the next one to speak, and he liked that. He said, oh, a servant leader. Yeah, I like that. You know, he was happy about that too.
Praise God. Yeah, that's good. Wrote something down. It's a question we need to ask ourselves now is, will you allow him to reveal himself as he truly is, and to do in your life what he truly desires to do? That's what I want to do, exactly what he wants me to do. Lord, give me the willpower and the wherewithal and the faith to do it, and everybody else too. You remember what Jesus said, I speak only what I've seen I do only what I've seen my Father do. That's what we want to do, isn't it? said the works he did, we can do also. So we should do the same thing he did. I get excited when I read about the things that Jesus talked about himself and see what the Father has told him. You wonder, you know, what goes off in my mind is, I wonder what the Father showed him about all this stuff. You know, he listens to the Father all the time. And he's seeing what the Lord is doing too, the Father is doing too. And that's what we ought to be wanting to do, is to, Lord, just help me to understand you more, better, and to see you. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else? You know, we can, I know that we sit around and we talk about things. It's putting it into action that really is the meat of the whole thing, and that's doing the Word. We all can read about the Word, we can talk about the Word, but doing the Word is what God wants us to do. Most of all. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, even the apostle was hindered from going in one direction and another, so, you know, and things, sometimes a hindrance might come, but it shows that God has to open the door for us too, for these things too. And even the apostles prayed for that open door to happen. And I'm sure people are praying for that, for loved ones and family members, and, for my UBM buddies here too, you know, for your loved ones too. So the door has to be open, and it will be open. Much prayer has been said. The Lord heard you the first time. You know?
Yep.
It almost sounds like we shouldn't be repeating it too many times. But, you know, sometimes the way we are, you know, children, you know, no, I want that ice cream. So, praise the Lord to God for how He opens doors and does things. I'd like to see a lot more of them. And, you know, I'm sure everyone would like to be a good witness, some sort of evangelist for people. Yeah. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Yeah. I want to see people, just like we talked about earlier, I want to see people coming to Jesus because of the love that His people show. And they see that love. And they want that peace in their heart that the Lord has put in our hearts. And that no fear, no anxiety, none of that be shown in us. And that's the light that He's looking, that the people are looking for. There's a lot of anxiety in people. Y'all, you got to do something out at Walmart. Look at the people down there. A lot of anxious, fearful people. All right, anybody else? Anybody want to pray? What is this Cheryl got up there? She said, Matthew 8:5-8. And when he was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth in the house, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And he saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. Boy, that's some faith right there. Yeah, Monroe, the story of Jesus is a good story. He is our example in dying for the sins of all. Yeah. You remember when he was up in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was trying to ask the Lord, "Lord, I'd like to kind of get out of this one." And Father said, "No, got to go through it, son." He said, "Okay, your will be done." How many of us would be throwing snot, hollering, screaming, "Oh, I don't want to go through that." Can you imagine the pain that that man went through? Golly, that's not the worst part of it. The worst part of it is when all the sin and all the sickness went on. Golly, that's humility personified. Yeah, Andrew.
No, they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, which is supposed to be a hallucinogen, but he refused it. But, you know, the guy who has to hammer the nails into the hands of people, you know, you think you got a bad job? See what I had to do today. I mean, I'm sure he sampled that one with that stuff in it to make him a little high because he had to do that all day. That Roman soldier and he had to forgive him of that. He was probably looking right at him when he was doing it.
Yeah. Man, that's a good story. Thank you, Monroe and Cheryl. Well, all right. Looks like we've gone through another one tonight. What do y'all want to talk about? What is today? This is Thursday. Y'all think of a good topic and let me know for Tuesday night. Lord, we thank you for leading us and guiding us tonight into these things to talk about. And we praise you, Father, for placing it in our hearts to humble ourselves and to exhibit only you, Lord. Father, teach us how to talk to you. Teach us how to look to you for the answers for everything in our daily walk, Lord. Teach us to just take you wherever we go and know and just talk to you, Lord. Praise you, Father, for all that you do with us. And I thank you, Lord, for answering David and I's prayer today. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. Y'all be blessed, you hear?